Thank you.
74179.
I want to be a nation that is on the biblical principles and the values and the ethics that are found in Scripture.
Your personal economy.
Financial issues that you need to know.
Aligning reality with truth.
Well, I think it's time we ask ourselves if we still know the freedoms that were intended for us by the founding fathers.
Now, here's your host, Dan Celia.
Welcome back. Financial Issues. I'm Dan Celia, 844-707. 5533. I'm stretching here anyway. Thank you for that. Right now, the Dow is up 500 points. So we still didn't get back what we lost yesterday, but you know what? Things are good. The numbers came out strong. I can't imagine. Like I said this morning before the markets opened, when I opened the program, I said, if the markets end up down today, I think I'm going to quit. I mean, it is just, yesterday was mind-boggling to me. It was bad enough. This was before the job numbers. So we get the numbers out yesterday. The markets closed yesterday. I know that media has got a zillion reasons to try to explain the market. Most of them, of course, having something to do with Trump. There was no rhyme or reason for it. Okay, so Apple was downgraded. So Apple was downgraded. So we had the entire European markets down because Apple was downgraded? Really? So what that is saying, and same with the U.S. and same with the Asia market. So what that's saying is that we don't need any economic data. It's irrelevant. Let's just watch one stock. Let's just watch Apple stock and see how it does. I mean, you understand how ridiculous it is. How about we do something really innovative? Like we watch and look at the economic data that has been out there for a very long time, that is shoring up and reinforcing the underlying fundamentals of the economy. Forget about the markets. Can we look at the economy? Because ultimately, at the end of the day, whenever that might be, the market's going to be driven by what the economy is doing, not what the markets anticipate the economy might do a year from now. But can we look at what the fundamentals of the economy are showing us? That is a key metric as we think about the future, because they are, so many of those economic fundamentals are forward-looking. Now, I won't deny that the market is somewhat forward-looking, but when you look at, are they forward-looking about what the Fed is going to do with interest rates, or are they getting back to basics and being forward-looking about what the forward-looking indices and indicators are? So that's what we're trying to wade through every day. Well, I have the privilege again. It's been a while since we've had Craig Haggard on live talking about our commodities. Every single week, I get emails from so many of you who are grateful for the work that Craig does every single day for Financial Issues. And so many of you, one of the things that we're hearing now all the time is, I'm so grateful that you get it up so quickly on your website, because I don't feel stressed, like I've got to stop what I'm doing to listen. I can hear it now on the website later in the day or at lunchtime or in the evening. So it's great stuff. And Craig, we appreciate you so much. And we just hope we have a better 2019 for commodities. And what do you think?
Well, I've just been really enjoying listening to you here the last few minutes. The markets are just beyond crazy at times, aren't they, Dan? And the volatility in the stock market. And, to a lesser extent, we see some pretty crazy stuff going on in commodities as well. But, I do think that we're going to turn a corner here. I don't know, this coming year. I think the two big stories from an ag perspective are keeping an eye on what's going on with China And I think you saw the other day that China actually bought rice from us for the first time, I think, in the history of our nation. So I think now that they've bought rice, we'll probably see them buying some soybeans as well. And it leads me to believe that President Trump may sell some snow to Eskimos or something on that deal as well. It's pretty amazing when we can get rice sold to China. So I think that's going to be a big deal. We've got that meeting January 7th and 8th with the different ministers from the two countries sitting down and hopefully getting an agreement there. And then the other thing to keep an eye on, I think, especially in the near term, is what's going on in South America. We've got a weather scenario that's kind of developed in Brazil, kind of caught people by surprise a little bit here. You know, bean acres in Brazil are up about 3% over last year. But right now it looks like the yield is probably going to come in about 2% under trend line. Last year they were 3% under trend line. Private analysts that I work with, kind of estimating that yield in Brazil to be about 116 million metric tons maybe now. And USDA's got them factored in at 122. So if we get a combination of a smaller bean crop in Brazil than what our government's looking for, and couple that with China coming back into our markets in a very aggressive way, it could be kind of an interesting scenario here in the next few months.
Do you think, Craig, that we have lost some market share? I mean, not obviously, you know, in the interim, we've lost some market share, but I mean permanently have lost, or maybe we've gained some market share in other places that we've been forced to market to.
Yeah, there's no doubt.
As far as grains go,
we've went into some areas we normally haven't gone into. Whether we'll keep those, I guess, is the big question. But your bigger point, though, I do think we've seen a kind of a change in the way they feed hogs in China. There was a very intensive high-protein diet, and they've adopted more of a Western Hemisphere diet here recently, it seems like, which is not as protein-intensive. And so if they continue with that, I would think that we're going to see some just a decline in demand from China all the way around, you know, in terms of if their numbers in terms of livestock stay the same. I think it's going to take less beans to feed that same amount of livestock because the ration changes. So I do think that's had somewhat of an impact. And I think it's going to take a little bit of time to sort that out, though, because the other thing going on in China right now, of course, is the African swine flu. And you've got a lot of people kind of spooked over there. In fact, I think the government yesterday just made it a crime not to report. And what had been happening is some of those hogs have been dying, and people have been going ahead and dressing them out and taking them to the market and trying to sell the meat and recoup something from it. Mm. So that's had a lot of Chinese folks kind of turning their back on eating pork. We've seen a bigger move to broiler demand over there recently. So they need to get that under control as well. But if they get the swine flu under control, get their people confident eating pork once again, you know, I think ultimately we'll get back what we've lost, but I think it's going to take an increase in numbers to have the same amount of demand as we had before this started.
Hmm. Well, what about what is it looking like for the cattle market?
You know, that's been an interesting thing. It seems like that's become more of a technical trade here recently than any big fundamental driven type of thing. Yeah. We've seen live hogs up. In fact, lean hog futures are trading up again today, which I think is the third or fourth consecutive day that we've been higher. And cattle are down again today, which, again, is a third or fourth day in a row that they've traded a little bit lower. It seems to be kind of a choppy trade right now, and I'm not really seeing a lot of fundamental news out there necessarily to drive that. It seems like it's become more of a trader's market. You know, the other thing that I know you're real concerned about is the milk producers. And
yes,
we had kind of a rally in that a little bit. And if I look at the futures out front, it seems like the market's telling us there's going to be an increased demand and probably some stronger prices coming down the road in a few months there. So that may be good news for those folks as well.
Yeah, that's really good news. And do you think that's because of Canada and the trade agreement there, or not necessarily?
Yeah, I do think that. I think that's had a large part in it. I really do.
Yeah, good. Well, that sounds great, Craig. And listen, I just want to tell you how much we appreciated you for 2018, and we continue to just feel so grateful that you've come alongside our ministry And your work, I want you to know, because I hear about it so much, is really helping so many people, and they're so grateful for you. When I hear things like saying, it's the best grain.
Would you consider taking charge of your financial stewardship while being biblically responsible with God's money? Consider partnering with Financial Issues. For a contribution of $85 a year, you'll get Dan's buy list every Monday morning, receive our regular email alerts, and have access to Dan's asset allocation models. You can ask questions of Dan as part of his market and economic conference call every month. But best of all, you'll be supporting the Ministry of Financial Issues. Would you become a partner today? You won't regret it. Go to financialissues.org. That's financialissues.org.
I pray that I can be a great role model for him. I pray that in these trying times, that I can lead him in a way that I know will leave a godly imprint on his heart forever.
And I show her how to live a life that is pure. I want her to understand how precious life is and to take
care of his body. To eat right and exercise and understand that his body is a temple of God.
I pray that our family will love Jesus, read his word daily, and obey his teaching.
The values that we share should guide us in the way that we invest. Make sure that you are investing in companies whose policies and practices align with pro-life, pro-family values. Visit thetimothyplan.com or call for more information. Advance the kingdom in the way that you invest.
The AFA Journal is the monthly magazine of the American Family Association.
The mission of the AFA Journal is to motivate people to get involved in issues around their community and around their state and nation.
We want people to go out and actually do something, to become involved in their community. People who read the journal take the magazine, they hand it to friends, they hand it to neighbors, they hand it to people at work.
If you'd like to get the AFA Journal, simply go to afajournal.org. You can sign up for a one-year free subscription.
And there's such a peace and joy knowing that God is answering our prayers, bringing healing and providing for our needs.
The opening statement in the Constitution of the United States says this, that we the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty. I don't know what part of that we don't get anymore. That was written by men who cared about this country deeply.
Financial Issues with Dan Celia.
Welcome back. Financial Issues, 844-707-5533. It's Rapid Fire Friday. Rapid Fire Friday. So we're trying to rapid fire through our, but we've got two lines open right now. So now, obviously, a good time to cue your call. 844-707-5533. You'll get right in the queue. And we are going to stick with phones for the next 2 hours and 45 minutes. Let me go to Lee. Lee is calling us from Virginia. Hey, Lee.
Hey, Dan. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you.
Happy New Year. I'm glad to hear you got some rest over the holidays. You certainly deserve that.
I did. Thank you.
My question is on preferred stocks. So I've watched the videos. Sort of new at this, started to dabble in it. You've given me such great advice. But I'm a little confused. So the preferred stock,
okay,
we are in the like 55 to 65 age, so we're still working. And but we're starting to put some money away into, like you had recommended some time back, into investment stocks. So I wanted to put a little bit to help our portfolio into the preferred stocks. I know it's not a whole lot that we need to put in, but I'm not really sure. So you had listed UT29, which was one that I was interested in.
UT29 is a utility stock.
Correct. But it's considered preferred.
Yes. Okay.
Right?
All right.
Blue. Okay.
No, that's just a utility. That's not a preferred. Yep.
Okay, so if they're in blue, preferreds, that doesn't mean they're preferred.
No, not at all. It just means, if they're in blue, it means their income, producing stocks.
Okay. So how do I tell it's a preferred stock?
Well, you would go to, there is a category that says preferreds on the list. So the buy list, you know, you could go to preferreds and see what's on the buy list under preferreds.
Okay.
So a preferred stock, the number is always going to be, you know, FP, because they're all financials. A preferred is a financial. So it's separated out of financials, but it is a financial stock, yes.
So when I look at my portfolio, I think there's one section for financials, right?
Yes.
So
that's right.
So I need to buy them separately?
No, you don't need to. So anything that you buy, so you would check the financial tab, see if there's anything on the buy list. You could check the preferred stock to see if there's anything on the buy list. And you could check financial REITs, real estate investment trust. So all three of those would be categorized as financials.
You mean in the portfolio?
Yes, correct.
Financial.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
So the other question then is, so because we are not retired yet, if you, I think you said for, maybe it's just the incomes, maybe I'm wrong, but the preferred that you don't want to have them reinvested, you want to take the profit or you want to take the dividend, right? That's usually what you say?
Yeah, always, yes.
So even though we are not at a point in time where we need to draw money from any of this, we should still, those particular ones within our portfolio that are preferred, we should tell them to just take the dividends and put them back into our money market.
Correct.
Okay, and then we just take that money and reinvest it into something else.
Correct, if you want, yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yep. All right, that's good. And that kind of answered, I think, most of my questions. So the other, I appreciated that the question that the gentleman asked earlier about that some of them didn't put the call on all of them. So when you said like there's a plus one or a plus two, is that, I know you've talked about preferreds with that. Is that based on what the price is right there, or is that going to stay plus one or plus two under it?
I'm not sure what you mean about the plus one or two.
Well, I thought it was like, it had to do, maybe I'm wrong, maybe it had to do with the, like you had, you would get, you paid like a, I know when you sell a preferred, you always like sell it at 25. When it's called. You never sell it, but when it's called.
When it's called,
but
yes.
But don't you buy it sometimes at like plus one would be like you'd be buying it 26? Or 27?
Yeah, so you can. I mean, sometimes that'll happen, that the price will be up, or right now most of them are down, so you're buying below 25, but they're still going to be called at 25. Yeah.
Right, okay. So when you say plus one or whatever, minus one, you're talking about from the $25 call date what the cost is.
Yeah, I guess. I don't remember ever saying anything plus one or plus two, but maybe I do and I don't realize it, but I don't remember ever using that terminology. But, so you buy it below, you can buy it below the call price or the 25 or above the call price, yes. Yep.
Okay. All right, that's good. Well, I won't take any more time because I know it's Rapid Friday. So.
Yep.
Thank you so much
for
all your help.
I appreciate your partnership. Keep plugging along. Thank you. God bless. All right. Let me go to Walt. Walt calling us from West Virginia. Hey, Walt.
Good morning, Dan. How are you?
I'm doing good. Thanks.
Good. Hey, Dan, just real briefly, on one of our local Christian radio stations, they kept playing a commercial about this. It was going to be a $3 stock, and President Trump had called it the eighth one of the world. And so you click to a link, and you watch a big, long infomercial, and they still don't tell you what it is. I think it was like Oxford Communique or something like that, and they want you to sign up, you know, for their newsletter and all that. But I did some research, and I think I found what it was. And I know sometimes these things you just don't know how they're going to do. But I did give the stock symbol to your call screener, and I just wanted to you know, I wasn't sure if it was something good to invest in or if it was biblically responsible. I just wanted your advice on that.
Yeah, so I mean I can only speak about the share. I mean the symbol, I'm not sure the symbol that you have listed is not a symbol that
that was the one I was able to buy through TD Ameritrade, like the parent company of I think the new company that opened up in Wisconsin when President Trump did that, you know, wanted to bring business to America.
Yeah. So, I know the stock. I mean, I'll just speak about the company for a minute.
Yes, sir.
I don't want to speak exactly for the exact symbol and all that. It is not a stock that is very highly ranked. It is a company that's very highly ranked. It's a Taiwan company. They do electronic equipment and all of that. It is not a stock that would ever, in all likelihood, be on my list anytime soon. It is a, it's a small company. It's going to be very volatile. It's highly dependent upon the Asia market, even more so than it is here. And, as far as it being biblically responsible, it is, as far as I know, I'm looking for it right now. It's not showing up on the screen. It's not even listed. As far as I know, from some research I did some time ago, and I'm drawing on some memory of about 8 months or so ago, it is biblically responsible, but I don't have any screens that indicate that. So it's not a company that, you know, I recommend, or it's not a company that I track, so I don't have a lot of information on it, unfortunately.
Okay.
It's not very strong from a financial perspective. They don't have good financials. I wouldn't be buying it. But most of the time, they're companies that are trying to get you to sign up, get a part of their email list that you're going to pay for. And I should talk about that at one point in time and how they work. But you know, these companies put out stocks like this. This company that you're watching with the video. And they may put out a video that's five different videos on five different stocks. And some you may see one, another group in another part of the country seeing another. And one of them, they're hoping, works out. Then once one of them works out, they go back to that group of people and say, see what we said? This is why you need to sign up. It's a very old, I don't want to say scam, but it's a very old sales practice in stocks that was used for many, many years back before there were computers that used to use. And they would go through call lists and they would call people and say, hey, you need to buy this stock. And they would call 1,000 people on one stock, 1,000 on another, 1,000 on another, 1,000 on another. And whichever one did well in the next 2 weeks, they would call those 1,000 people back and say, you know, this is why you need to keep buying with us or sign up with us or buy our newsletter or whatever it might be. So just be careful of those things.
Okay, obviously. Thank you, Dan.
You're welcome. I sure appreciate it, Walt. Glad you called. You know, somebody emailed me yesterday and it just reminded me about a similar situation. And they bought all these stocks and all of them have just tanked big time. And you can email me and tell me about it if you want, but ask it for it. There's nothing I can, I don't know what to tell you about that other than you shouldn't have done it. I mean, I don't know. I mean, you've got to be extremely careful, and the better the markets go and the worse the markets get, the more there are scams out there to try to get you in a bad market to do something, in a good market to say they got something even better.
All right, 844-707-5533. We'll stay with calls, 844-707-5533. We'll be back after this.
I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans, America's premier home purchase lender. Today's fluctuating interest rates can leave you with unexpected higher mortgage payments. At Quicken Loans, we've created a new way to protect you from unpredictable interest rates so you can buy a home with certainty. It's called Rate Shield, and here's how it works. With Rate Shield, you can lock your interest rate while you shop for a new home. So if rates go up, you don't have to worry. And here's the best part. If rates go down, you get the lower rate. With Rate Shield, we really have you covered. Here are more reasons why you'll want to work with America's largest mortgage lender. For 9 years in a row now, J.D. Power has ranked Quicken Loans highest in the nation in customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination. And for the fifth year in a row, they've also ranked us highest in the nation for mortgage servicing. Rate Shield. Another way we can save you money on your mortgage. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
Based on Rocket Mortgage data in comparison to public data records, Rate Shield approval only valid on certain 30-year purchase transactions. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender license in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030. Additional conditions or exclusions may apply.
BizTalk News wants to feature your business as part of our discovery feature, which highlights businesses that are not yet known nationally but offer products or services that benefit BizTV viewers. Available in over 40 markets on broadcast TV and online via BizTVClub.com. BizTV wants to help get the word out about your business. If you're interested in having your business featured on a future episode of BizTalk Discovery, email us at discovery@BizTV.com.
I live alone and rarely have visitors. So when I slipped and fell in the kitchen last month and couldn't get to a phone, I knew I was in trouble.
Help!
I could barely move.
Help!
I tried calling for help, but no one could hear me. As I lay there, I couldn't help but think of my kids and grandkids having to go on without me. I was terrified. It took 8 hours for my neighbor to find me. It could have been the end of me. That's when I knew I needed Life Alert. With just one press of this button, I'm connected to the Life Alert Center, where I can get the help I need, even when I cannot reach a phone. With Life Alert, I'm never alone.
We save a life from a catastrophe every 11 minutes. For a free Life Alert brochure, call 800-258-0566. That's 800-258-0566. 800-258-0566. Call 800-258-0566.
Stop by Lowe's for help refreshing your bathroom this new year. Take 20% off mosaic wall tiles and really spice up the look of your bath. Or make a small change and notice a big difference with up to 35% off select bath faucets. No matter what you choose, you'll be ready to enjoy the new year in style. All projects have a starting point. Start with Lowe's. Offers valid through January 9th. Exclusion supply. See store for details. U.S. only.
27-14.
Choose.org today. Grow your money God's way.
Thank you, Kurt. Kurt from Washington just mentioning that called in and just said he thanks us for all the efforts and he appreciates the 9 for 19. So I appreciate that. Sharon is asking from Louisiana if Dollar General is biblically responsible. They are not, Sharon. They're not biblically responsible. All right, 844-707-5533. You know, listen, if you're watching on YouTube and you have not pressed that subscribe button, man, I don't know what the deal is on that. Our goal last year was to get over 15,000, which we went over 15,000 twice. You know, and then Twitter goes through, YouTube goes through, and then they start pulling people off that list. That they would say, well, they're fake accounts. We don't have any fake accounts. We don't subscribe to any services that would give us fake accounts. I don't really understand that, but maybe fake accounts end up there somehow. And then it goes back down. Then it goes back up. Then it goes back down. I would want to believe that with very near to 15,000 subscribers, that next year, by the end of 2019, we should have even well over that, for sure, into the 20s. But if you have not subscribed, it does help us out. We sure would appreciate it. It's one of the things that's going to keep us alive and well on YouTube. Because It doesn't, well, it's only 15,000 people, yeah, but they look at the kind of subscribers you have. And our subscribers are very much engaged, and they take that into consideration when they try to close out our content. So we sure would appreciate it if you would subscribe. So if you are on, and by pressing the thumbs up button, which we appreciate very much, is not the same as subscribing. You don't have to put information in it. It doesn't cost you anything. We don't gain anything monetarily from it. It does help us out, though, in the long run. So we hope you'll do that, and sure would appreciate it. And we see that our community of viewers on YouTube has grown very much. As a matter of fact, a day when the market crashes, we could easily have 800 people at least showing up. That means for entire 3 hours. That means there's, you know, 300-400 people off and on, off and on, off and on. So by the end of that 3 hours, we could have easily had, you know, 15,000 people watching. So it's good stuff. We appreciate that more and more people. Somebody else again today telling me, hey, I listen on the app every day. So make sure you go to your app store and make sure you download Financial Issues app. All right, let me go back to phones and go to Mark. Mark's calling us from Illinois. Hey, Mark, how are you doing?
Doing good, Dan. Good morning. Thanks so much for taking my call. I've got a couple questions. Yeah. My wife and I, we've got a simple plan through Edward Jones through work. And, you know, we've got some other stuff, too. We've got a few rental houses and one commercial property and things like that. And we own our own small business. And so we've got some other things going on. But in the Edward Jones account, you know, they had the Timothy there for a while. Well, they no longer have it. So what we did is we just quit putting more money into that account, and we're just doing the 6%, which is the 3% match. But it's just going straight into a money market account. And when we had it before, we were split up 50% Timothy and 50% money market, which I know is pretty conservative. But so I guess my question now is, we probably, I don't know, maybe got 100,000 or so, maybe more, in this money market account. Would this be a good time to, since they don't offer the Timothy, would it be a good time to just maybe split that up and just buy some of the stocks in the different sectors that are on your buy list? We still have a pretty strong cash position in other places and things like that. And then we also have a TD Ameritrade, which is what I've been putting a bunch of money in every month there, and just, you know, buying and selling, as just following everything you say. So I guess my question is, we got a pretty good chunk of money. I think we're pretty conservative. Would this be the time to do something like that, or should we just leave it in the money market? And then I'm not real. We're only putting 6% in, so basically I'm just paying the tax now as we're getting paid and then investing it. Then I don't have to worry about what the government may or may not decide to do with that.
Yeah, I mean, I would say this is definitely the time to do it. I mean, I think there's never been a better time. I've been saying that since at least, you know, middle of December, that this is the time to be getting in. I don't think there's been a better time. I mean, obviously, today the market's up a lot, but it's long, long way off from where it could end up. And if you're a long-term investor, I think you have to do that, Mark. I think you need to start getting that money. I like the idea. You know, I mean, I want you to get your match. You got to get your match. It's just very disheartening that they refuse to offer Timothy. It's not because they can't. It's because they don't want to. And it's just drives me nuts. It is. Last time I checked, it was your money. They were supposed to be doing what you want, but that doesn't work that way. And I know you're at the mercy of them because your company, that's who your company uses. But I would consider getting as much in as you can in the TD Ameritrade account. Certainly, you're right. You never know what the government's going to do. That makes a lot of sense. That'd be a great place to start doing some of that. But I assume that you can't get that money out of the money market account that it's going into, that 6%, and that's fine. At some point in time, you're going to roll that out, down the road, and put it in a in an IRA account. But yeah, anything you can put over and above in your TD Ameritrade account, now would be the time. And even in that account in your Simple, yes, try to buy some individual stocks and look at that very, very closely, the asset allocation models. Whatever you do, though, don't do the same stocks in two different accounts. Make sure you get diversified and you treat the money as one pot of money so that you're spread out in a good way and diversified well.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Great. That answers my question. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Mark. I appreciate it. And a great place to start, folks, if you're starting to do that, is that 9 for 19. There is no better place to get started. And they're all going to be on my buy list here. I wasn't able to do that. But the they're a buy, and they're going to stay a buy probably for a little bit of time. So make sure that if you're just getting started, you're just getting in, use that 9 for 19 list. It's a great place to start. Let me go to Daniel. I'm sorry. Daniel calling us from Kentucky. Hey, Daniel.
Good morning, and thank you for taking my call. I have a question concerning my Roth. I have a Roth and an IRA. And some of my stocks, I don't have that much in my Roth, and I'd like to fund it, but some of my stocks in the IRA are down, and I'm wanting to know, is it possible to move those in kind to my Roth or IRA and just pay the tax out of the cash that I've got?
You can move those over, those stocks over. You'll be taxed on the value of what you move over that day, and that's how you'll be taxed. But yeah, now would be a great time to do it if they're down and you want to start moving some of that money into a Roth. I think it's a great idea.
How do they give you a tax bill? Do they 1099 you, or what do they give you?
You'll get a 1099 at the end of the year from the IRA account. You're going to get a 1099. It's like a distribution 1099 that was made. It's not really a distribution, it's a rollover, but you'll get a 1099 from wherever you're rolling it from.
And I won't have to pay any kind of penalty for getting it out of
No, you won't have to pay the... Well, are you under 59 and a half?
Yes, I am. 57.
Yeah. So you won't have to pay that 10% penalty for being under 59 and a half. You won't have to pay that. You just have to pay the tax.
Okay, great. That answers my question. And we just now registered for your Dallas convention, and we're
going
to see you there. So I
man, you won't regret it.
To go and have a good time, and I hope it's a prayerful time, and we learn some things.
Oh, you will learn some things, and it is a prayerful time. It's going to be fellowship and a time in the Word and fun and worship like you've never had. So we're going to have a great time. So I'm glad you registered. Thank you, Daniel. That's great. Glad you got in while you could. I sure appreciate it. Wish you all the best with that. And let me just say one other thing, Daniel, that I forgot to mention. I think you sound like you're clear on this. I just want to make sure. When you do that rollover, you know, that the organization that you're in, they have to do it. So don't take it out and then move it over.
Okay.
Because then the 1099, then you will have to pay penalty. So it's got to go directly from, you know, the company that's holding it. And the rollover has to go directly from them over to the Roth IRA account. Once you take possession of the money, it's going to be counted to you as an early distribution. So be careful of that.
So if I contact...
All right.
It's with Fidelity, so if I contact them and they
yes.
do it, I don't have to worry about it.
Right. Is your Roth with Fidelity too?
Yes, it is.
Oh, good. That'll be easy. They'll just transfer it over. Yep, it won't. That'll work out great. But, yeah, they have to do it that way.
They will transfer the shares in kind, correct? So I don't want to
yes,
sell these
correct.
Stocks.
You No. Yeah, you tell them that. You just tell them you want to transfer these shares to your Roth. Yep.
Okay.
You'll do that in kind. Right. Yes. All right. Thanks, Daniel. I appreciate it.
God bless you.
All right. God bless you. Thank you. 844-707-5533, folks. Coming up on a break. We've got a line open. 844-707-5533. The market's up. What's it up? 554 points. It was up about 610. But nonetheless, things are up. Let's see if it continues throughout the day. Like I said.
Who can find a virtuous wife? She's worth far more than rubies. The heart of her husband safely trusts her. She brings him good and not evil all the days of her life. She's like the merchant ships, bringing her food from afar. She gets up while it's still night and provides food for her family. She extends her hand to the poor. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Charm is deceptive, and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised.
Sometimes.
And I know just how stressful it can be when time is tight and you need points on the board. Well, just like my fun and gun offense, AmeriFactors is a fast-moving game winner when it's fourth down and your business can't afford a funding fumble. Providing up to 98% of receivables in as little as 24 hours, your business can get the cash flow it needs to make payroll, hire new talent, or purchase equipment faster than ever. Best of all, funds come directly from your unpaid invoices, so there's absolutely nothing to pay back. And if your clients don't pay, AmeriFactors is your defensive line taking the hit. With over 29 years of successfully funding businesses, you know AmeriFactors is a name you can trust to score big and score fast.
800-890-6380. 800-890-6380. 800-890-6380. That's 800-890-6380.
Get the coverage you need now.
Why not bank with a trusted partner that shares your values and beliefs? Christian Community Credit Union. Your money building God's kingdom.
The opinions and recommendations expressed by Dan are his own and do not necessarily represent the opinions of this station or any of the show's sponsors.
Welcome back. Financial Issues, 844-707-5533. We got some questions on YouTube, Facebook, so we'll get to those as well. It's Rapid Fire Friday. We've got an hour and 15 minutes. We're going to stay with phones. Stay with us. If your station is one of those that's only carrying 1 hour or 2 hours of the program and you're going to lose us, it's okay. Switch over to Facebook. Switch over to YouTube. YouTube channel is financial, just YouTube/financial issues with, that's probably all you'll have to get to. It's with Dan Celia, or find the channel. Then once you get there, subscribe so that you get some alerts, and that helps us out. But Facebook as well, you can go to Facebook, our Facebook, it's Facebook/financial issues. Our app, download the phone app. We have more and more people say they just carry the phone app around. If you're on Wi-Fi in your home and you have the phone app going, you don't use any data. People say, why don't I use my data up? You don't use data if you're on Wi-Fi. So, you know, you can listen on your phone. So make sure you do that. Or you can go to, I just got an email from a friend who says they listen every day on FISM.TV. You can go to financialissues.org and listen. You can download the podcast. No reason to be without us. Let me go to Keith. Keith is calling us from Oklahoma. Hey, Keith.
Hey, Dan. Appreciate everything you do. Hey, question about, I'm taking care of my mother's investments, and she's got, I'm wondering, like, what allocation to use. She's got about $185,000, and she's withdrawing about $10,000 per year. She's retired. I was considering, like, do I need to put her in some of these stocks, like the 9 for 9, or focus more on the monthly income, or just use the allocation that's on the website for the retirement people? With her age, her health is kind of a little bit up and down.
Yeah.
I don't know. Do you have any thoughts?
I would, you know what, Keith? Yeah, I would focus on preserving the principal and using collecting the income.
Okay.
So that you're in more of an income portfolio where the income that you're drawing is, you know, being replenished every year. So that would be my goal. I mean, I think that would make a lot of sense because you're not going to be forced to dip too deep, if at all, into principal. In the meantime, through some of those stocks that you would own in that model, you're going to have opportunity for growth. And I would say there's a great chance that you are going to have, in fact, some growth over a period of time. So I would rather see you do something like that. I think that would make a lot of sense. You know, you can probably design it in such a way through the asset allocation model and the stocks is to get 5.5% income. Yes, will the principal fluctuate down sometimes? Sure. Up sometimes? Yes. But I think in the long run, that might be, you know, a good model for you to do so that she's not dipping into principal at all.
Okay. So basically, like, if I look at the model that's on there for the in retirement people, just
yes.
kind of go ahead and go with that and go ahead and get in stocks and everything. You think that's okay?
Yeah. You mean the model on my website or somebody
yeah,
else's website?
Yeah,
I'm lost.
No, yeah, your website, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I would go scroll down to the bottom one, which is the income portfolio.
Yes, okay.
Into retirement, and that's the one I would use. Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, definitely.
One. Okay. Okay. Can I throw another thing at you? I've got a guy
sure.
who's been managing this, and it really honestly hasn't gone very well, I don't think, but so I'm kind of thinking I need to redo this, or I don't know, maybe I just need to quit working with him. But he's got right now about 32,000 in bonds that are due in like 2040. They're like municipal bonds and Public Finance Authority of Wisconsin and things like that. They're individual bonds. And then he's got 12,000 in municipal bond funds and then 12,000 in the SPDR, S&P 500 ETF, which I assume is just an ETF for S&P 500, and then 12,000 in a gold fund, and then the rest is all in cash, so it's pretty heavy in cash. Does it sound like I should scrap that and just try to go more? I mean, some of it is fixed stuff, and the asset allocation model says to use some fixed stuff, so I don't know, maybe that long-term bonds are okay for that?
Yeah, Yeah, I wouldn't have. I may keep some of the individual bonds.
Okay.
That are maturing, but everything else I would not own. I wouldn't have any
okay.
of it
okay.
In that portfolio. Now, I will tell you this, though. I just want to give you a heads up.
Okay.
So the bonds have very long maturity dates.
Yes.
So upon your mother going home to be with the Lord,
exactly.
When that happens,
yep.
You are going to be forced. You're not going to be forced, but you're going to have only two options: keep them to maturity,
mm-hmm.
or sell them.
Okay.
And Lord only knows where they could be from a valuation standpoint
right.
when you go to sell them, and that would be a little bit concerning because
mm-hmm.
we're in a rising interest rate environment. Mm-hmm. Even this year, we expect to see a little bit.
Right.
So I would have some concern about those. I don't have concern about them from a safety perspective because they're individual bonds. I do on the muni bond funds, but not on those individual bonds. But
okay.
I just give you a heads up about that, Keith.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I had that concern, too. Okay. And then as far as, like, when I do the stock folio, she's got it's $185,000 that she's got total, and $54,000 is in an IRA, which, you know, we'll have to do the mandatory distribution, so that's going to kind of dwindle down every year. And then she's got $22,000 in a Roth and $109,000 in a trust. So is there a certain one that I need to put, like, the stocks in or not. I mean, the IRA, it's going to have to dwindle down every year, so I don't know if I should put stocks in there because I don't know if I can do mandatory distributions on stocks. You know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Yeah, I mean, you can, but you can't without selling. What you could do in the stock portfolio is build it so that the income is producing what the minimum required distribution is. What I'd really like to see you do, is this the only income she has other than Social Security?
No, she's okay on income except for about $10,000 a year that she takes out of the investments. She has Social Security.
But she's in a low tax bracket. She's in a low tax bracket.
Yes.
So I would like to see you if ideally you wouldn't have any money in that IRA when she's called home to be with the Lord.
Okay.
So I would like to see you, you know, over the next couple of years, get that money out of there, bite the bullet, pay the tax at a very low tax rate. Otherwise, you're going to still have to take the minimum required distribution someday at a higher tax rate, and I wouldn't do that. I would try to get rid of it.
Okay, that makes sense. Okay, so probably focus more on the on putting the stocks in the trust or the Roth and not the IRA.
Correct.
Yeah, okay, gotcha. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
You're welcome, Keith. I'm glad you called. Good stuff.
Okay,
thanks. Yep. Thank you, Keith. Let me go to James. James calling us from Arkansas. Hey, James.
Yeah, Dan. I'm getting ready to retire, and my normal retirement is going to be about $72,000 a year. But this year they offered us a lump sum, and it's going to be just a little over seven figures. And I'm wondering which way I should go. It's got me thinking about it.
So how dependent are you going to be on that money for your income?
All of it.
If you took the lump sum.
Yeah, okay. If I took the lump sum, I need to, get at least $5,000 a month to keep going.
Right. Okay. And how much is it going to be total, roughly? Not exactly, because it's going to change anyway.
The lump sum?
Yes.
It's going to be like $1,025,000.
Okay. So, I mean, I would say this to you. I get a little leery because right now you're getting $72,000 from that. And my concern is a financial advisor that is going to do the right thing. And I would be concerned. You should easily be able to generate 5 to 6% on that money. I mean, that shouldn't be a problem. So you should be easily be able to do that. And without dipping into principal, I mean. So with that in mind, that's going to get you, close to $5,000, not really $5,000, but you'll be able to take more than $5,000 and get make it up in gain. But you're not going to get $72,000 from it without dipping into principal.
Right.
So, right now, honestly, it's a better deal to keep it, but I like the idea of having the opportunity to grow the account and be able to pass it along with some growth. But I would just be leery. You know, there's one advisor that I tell people that I would tell you to go to. I don't say the name on the air, but it's the only firm that I would trust to do the right thing. And you can either email pat@financialissues.org, or I'll put you back on hold and Darlene will give you that information. But if you do that, I would be okay taking a lump sum. If not, I would want you to do it yourself so that you can really design the right plan following along with it. So I'm going to put you on hold.
If you can hang up if you don't want to get that information. We'll be right back.
Authentic content, thought-provoking conversation.
Those of this station, Biz Talk Radio, its management or advertisers. The information on Biz Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. Please consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions about Biz Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at biztalkradio.com. This is Biz Talk Radio, America's home for business talk, online at biztalkradio.com.